From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Golson Lyon from the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about a new personal genomics tool.
Dr. Golson Lyon is a psychiatrist and principal investigator in the Center for Applied Genomics at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. His research is focused on gaining a better understanding of the genetic basis of a number of neuropsychiatric disorders. Dr. Golson, before we get into the details of the study you and your team just published in the American Journal of Human Genetics, would you briefly explain the nature of this research project and what you were able to demonstrate?
So I wanted to discover a new genetic syndrome, and so about 2 years ago, I finished my training in clinical psychiatry, and I decided to move to the state of Utah because they have had historically there very attractive families for genetic studies, and that's because the Mormons tend to have large families, and they tend to stay put, and they also have lots of genealogy records. So I arrived in Utah about 2 years ago, and I continue to collaborate with colleagues at the University of Utah, as well as a nonprofit foundation called the Utah Foundation for Biomedical Research that I'm still actively involved with. And so about 6 months into my time at the University of Utah, I found this family. I went to a case conference and saw Dr. Rope, Alan Rope, present a family with this remarkable condition of these boys that had been dying since the 1970s. And this was the fourth boy in this one particular family that had died. And I decided that I wanted to try to figure out what was causing this new previously unidentified syndrome that had never been reported in the English literature.
And before we go into further details, after this study, what was it that you actually demonstrated?
So as for the study, we used some next-generation sequencing technologies to figure out the exact mutation, the single nucleotide change in the genome. So every genome has 3 billion base pairs, and we were able to identify the single base pair that is resulting in these boys ultimately dying. So the study also demonstrated that these boys have a deficiency, that this mutation causes a deficiency in an enzyme that's involved in a protein modification, a very important protein modification in the cell, and this is the first human condition that's been discovered to involve this protein modification called N-terminal acetylation.
I believe the name of the disorder is, as your team called it, was the Ogden syndrome. Can you tell us more about this? Tell us more about the nature of this disease and why you focused on this particular disorder for your research project.
Right. So I'm actually studying a large range of families that I've been getting to know in Utah for the last 2 years. And so this is one of the first families that I've published on. And this was one of the many compelling stories that I identified out in Utah. In this particular instance, the family lives in Ogden, Utah. And so we are tentatively calling this Ogden syndrome in honor of where the family resides. As I said before, this was a disease that's not been described before in the English literature, at least not until now. And this was, to me, very surprising because these infant boys have very obvious features, including looking somewhat older, even so much that they have been referred to by the family as little old men. They also have very obvious facial features, very severe developmental delay, and something called hypotonia, where basically they're very flaccid and unable to sit up on their own. And also, thus far, all the boys, five of them in this family that have been born, have died in the first 18 months of life, and they only survive as long as they do with substantial health care provided to them in the hospital. So I really chose to work on this project because it was a dramatic phenotype that nobody had really ever figured out, and also there's a new technology that had just come out in 2009, something called exome sequencing, and this involves having the ability to capture what's known as exons in the human genome. These are the protein coding regions of the genome, and being able to capture them selectively and sequence those exons. So I wanted to basically apply this new technology to a single case to determine if we could, you know, figure out the disease in just this one boy, using, of course, some of the clues from the inheritance pattern, such as it being X-linked due to the fact that it's passed down from the grandmother to two of her sons, and then it was also passed down from two of her daughters to two of their sons. And so this was something that I wanted to try to figure out using, you know, exome sequencing.
An essential component of your study was the use of a software system called VAST, V-A-A-S-T. What makes this such a useful tool, and what made you decide that it was appropriate for this particular research project?
Right. So first and foremost, the software was developed by a collaborator of mine at the University of Utah by the name of Mark Yandell, and it was also developed by a collaborator of his named Martin Reese, who works at a company called Omisha. That company is focused on personalized medicine, and then they have several other colleagues that work with them, and they have basically over the last several years been developing a software program that they've called VAST, and this program is meant to help prioritize disease-causing mutations in the human genome. And so it was sort of the right place at the right time. I work with Mark actively on other projects, and this seemed like the ideal test case to see if his program could identify the mutation basically, you know, without any prior information. So this was to us like a really a real test case of this new software program, because, you know, we didn't know going in anything about the disease other than the phenotype. We didn't have any other cases, any other families at that time, and so this was for us a relatively rigorous test of the software, assuming, you know, with the caveat that it was an X-linked disorder, which is something that we assumed based on the inheritance pattern going into the study.
Using VAST now, can you walk us through some of the actual steps of your study, the main steps, to show how this software tool was applied, and what were the key results and conclusions you came away with after using this tool?
The inheritance pattern, these boys were first born in the 1970s, and then over the, you know, last 30 years, there have been five boys that have been born, all of whom have died. But, you know, I came into the story with the fourth boy who was alive at that time, and I wanted to figure out what was going on with that fourth boy. Initially, you know, I went out to the home in Ogden and met the family, you know, with all the proper sort of IRB approvals, and ended up getting their blood and isolating DNA from, you know, numerous members of the family. And but at the time, I only had the DNA sample from the one affected boy, as well as, you know, the mother and the grandmother and some of the unaffected boys in the family. I didn't at that time have any of the DNA from any of the prior deceased boys, and that was only later that we obtained that DNA. So initially we did exon capture and sequencing on the X chromosome and applied that with next generation sequencing to, you know, basically sequence about 3 million base pairs of exons from the X chromosome. And then we ended up using several computer programs, but, you know, one program that we used was VAST, and we were able to very quickly, using VAST, prioritize this one particular mutation in a gene called NAA10, which is an N-terminal acetyltransferase. And so that mutation was prioritized by VAST as being the most likely candidate, and we then followed that up with some biological studies proving that that mutation did indeed affect the function of that protein. Then, subsequently, once we had used VAST to identify the mutation, I went back and worked with the medical examiner to obtain a formalin-fixed, you know, paraffin-embedded tissues from two of the deceased boys that had been stored for, you know, 20-plus years in a pathology lab. And so we then isolated the DNA from two of the prior boys and was then able to show that the same mutation was in those boys, which helped to further prove that this was definitely the causative mutation. Then, as we were preparing the manuscript, we were basically notified that another family had been discovered with the exact same phenotype and the exact same mutation. So then we used VAST to basically demonstrate that the only mutation that could possibly be causing both phenotypes was this mutation. And so VAST was able to rank it as the only genome-wide significant mutation that would be causing this syndrome.
What were the main advantages of relying on VAST for this study versus some of the more commonly and widely used techniques for doing this kind of work?
So I think the real critical advance with VAST is that it is a probabilistic algorithm. And what I mean by that is that it takes into account the frequency of the mutations, and it compares that frequency to a background genome file. And at the moment, this background genome file is about 400 genomes, but we are constantly expanding the number of genomes that are sequenced. So in the future, one could imagine that there might be thousands of normal, quote-unquote, normal human genomes. And when I say normal, I mean, you know, not having some sort of obvious rare Mendelian disorder. And so that can be the background file in the sense that, you know, these are a few thousand genomes that don't have, a very high frequency of disease-causing mutations. And so with VAST, you can then take a genome from, you know, someone who comes to the clinic who has a very rare condition or some, you know, other disease, and you can basically compare to the background file, and VAST will enable you to prioritize the likely disease-causing variants. Also, Mark Yandel has built into the software this thing called amino acid substitution frequencies, so that basically predicts which mutations cause an effect on the protein. And so that is another aspect of VAST that helps to prioritize these disease-causing variants.
Now, based on what you were just talking about and on the work that was just published, what steps in the lab do you have planned to make VAST even more effective for personal genomics applications?
Right. So, I mean, this is, you know, the software VAST is being further advanced by Mark Yandel and Martin Rees, and they are developing further the software to be able to look at other types of mutations in the genome, such as what we call microindels. And what I mean by that is small deletions or duplications in the genome that can also cause problems with proteins or other processes. And so they're currently developing VAST to be able to handle those what we call microindels. In addition, they're, you know, optimizing it for other mutations in the genome. And we and many others are now using VAST to look at other diseases. So, for example, we're looking at other rare Mendelian diseases, and we're beginning to apply it to other common diseases such as ADHD, autism, Tourette syndrome, and other neuropsychiatric conditions.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.